理课堂听 class.com。
Part 5 College English Test Band 4 Model Test 1
Part 3 Listening Comprehension
Section A Directions In this section, you will hear 8 short conversations and 2 long conversations. At the end of each conversation,One or more questions will be asked about what was said. Both the conversation and the questions will be spoken only once. After each question, there will be a pause. During the pause, you must read the 4 choices marked A, B, C, and D, and decide which is the best answer. Then mark the corresponding letter,on answer sheet 2, with a single line through the center.
Model Test 1 Question 11 Do you think I could borrow your car to go grocery shopping? The supermarkets outside the city are so much cheaper than the one by the school, but they are so far away. I'd be happy to pick up anything you need.
Well, I don't like to let anyone else drive my car.Tell you what, why don't we go together? That way I can learn the way.
What does the woman mean? Question 12. Do you think you can lend me that novel when you have finished with it?I've been looking all over for a copy, but apparently it's sold out at all the bookstores.
Oh, it's not mine. It belongs to Alice, but I'll see what she says.
What will the woman probably do? Question 13.I love watching football games at home. It's so relaxing just to watch them do battle.
I guess I'd feel the same way if only I could understand the rules.
What can be inferred about the woman?
Question 14.Why do you feel you're the right person for this job?
First of all, I like this job. I like to work in such a big company. Then, I specialise in oil drilling equipment. And the most important is that I'm diligent, tough and willing to cooperate with others.
What is the probable relationship between the two speakers?Question 15. I'm sorry, I need to work late tonight, so you should probably cancel our reservations at the restaurant.
Oh, actually, I never got round to making one in the first place.
What does the man mean?
Question 16. Let's see. Here are 2 pairs of slacks. One lady's skirt and one man's overcoat.
And this sports shirt too, all cleaned and pressed. When will they be ready?
Where does the conversation probably take place?
Question 17. I heard that only 20% of summer jobs in this part of the country are advertised. The other 80% are filled some other way.
Really? Then maybe I need to change my job searching techniques.
What can be inferred about the man?
Question 18. The university bookstore opens at 9 in the morning.
Oh dear! I need a textbook for my 8 o'clock class today. What shall I do now?
What does the woman mean?
Now you'll hear two long conversations. Conversation 1. I'm sorry, but I can't let you check out these books.
What do you mean?
The computer shows you got an overdue book, artwork, and you cannot borrow any book until you return it.
But that's impossible. I only started going to this school last month, and I'm a business major, not an artist.
This is pretty strange. Let me look at the records. You are Robert Smith.
Yeah.
And you live at number 25 Western...
No, I am living on campus.
You did say you were Robert Smith, right?
Yeah, well, my full name is Robert James Smith.
Let me check one more thing on the computer. Aha, it's seen now. There's another Robert Smith. Robert E. Smith, and it looks like he's the one who got the overdue book checked out.
Another Robert Smith? No kidding.
So, I guess you two never met.
No, but I think I should probably try. I could at least figure out what's just happened.
Good idea. Now, let's check out these books today. But I suggest you start to use your middle name or mid-initial to avoid any problem like this in the future.
Well, the paper wasps can. Each wasp nest has a special combination of plant fibres, so that the wasps that live there have a unique smell. Those two are the only kinds I've read about so far.
Well, you've still got time. It sounds like that the bees are picky about who comes to their family reunion.
Questions 19 to 21 are based on the conversation you have just heard. Question 19. Why does the man mention that he is a new student at the school? Question 20. What does the woman discover when she looks at the records on her computer? Question 21. What does the woman suggest the man do in the future? Conversation 2.
Hi, Bob. How is your history paper going?
Oh, hi, Sally. Not so good.
Why? What happened? I thought you were almost finished last night.
Well, the paper is written, but it's not typed yet because all the computers at the computer centre are taken, and it's due this afternoon. I don't know what I'm going to do.
The same thing happened to me a few weeks ago on an economics project. Every time I went to the centre, all the computers were being used, and I had a lot of graphs and charts that had to be done on the computer. I ended up doing them by hand.
There are so few computers for all the students here, and they are always breaking down too.
I know, but another problem is that they close so early, around 9:30.
I know. I came back last night at about 9:15, thinking the crowd might have thinned up by then. A guy at the door told me they were going to close in a few minutes. I couldn't believe it.
We should try to do something about this. Why don't we write a letter to the campus newspaper about the problem?
I think we should write directly to the dean. You know, we could explain the problem and make an official request that the school add more computers, the computer room stays open longer.
Maybe it would be a good idea to get other students' signatures. I'm sure a lot of others feel the same way we do, and that would carry more weight.
That's true. Do you want to get together to write the letter tonight?
Sure, but I have a study group meeting at 7:30.
OK, let's meet earlier in the dining hall at 6:30. It shouldn't take us long to write. We can start collecting signatures tomorrow at lunch.
See you then. Meanwhile, good luck with your paper. Questions 22 to 25 are based on the conversation you have just heard. Question 22. Why is Bob so upset? Question 23. What did Sally have to do in order to finish her economics project? Question 24. Why will Bob and Sally write a letter to the dean about the computer centre? Question 25. Why doesn't Sally have much time to work on the letter tonight?
Section B.
Directions. In this section, you will hear three short passages. At the end of each passage, you will hear some questions. Both the passage and the questions will be spoken only once. After you hear a question, you must choose the best answer from the four choices marked A, B, C, and D. Then mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 2 with a single line through the centre.
Passage 1. So long as teachers fail to distinguish between teaching and learning, they will continue to undertake to do for children what only children can do for themselves. Teaching children to read is not passing reading to them. It is certainly not endless hours spent in activities about reading. Douglas insists that reading cannot be taught directly and schools should stop trying to do the impossible. Teaching and learning are two entirely different processes. They differ in kind and function. The function of teaching is to create the conditions and the climate that will make it possible for children to devise the most efficient system for teaching themselves to read. Teaching is also a public activity. It can be seen and observed. Learning to read involves all that each individual does to make sense of the world of printed language. Almost all of it is private, for learning is an occupation of the mind, and that process is not open to public scrutiny. If the roles of teachers and learners are not interchangeable, what then can be done through teaching that will help the child in the quest for knowledge? Smith has one principal rule for all teaching instructions: make learning to read easy, which means making reading a meaningful, enjoyable, and frequent experience for children. When the roles of teachers and learners are seen for what they are, and when both teacher and learner fulfill them appropriately, then much of the pressure and feeling of failure for both is eliminated. Learning to read is made easier when teachers create an environment where children are given the opportunity to solve the problem of learning to read by reading.
Questions 26 to 28 are based on the passage that you have just heard. 26. What's the function of teaching? 27. What can we learn about teaching and learning? 28. What does the speaker think of a teacher should be? 2. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm very glad to welcome you to our language school. Here we hope you will enjoy your stay. Getting used to new faces and finding your way around the building will take a little time, but you should soon be able to settle down to the job of improving your English. Nowadays, most people would agree that speaking a language is the most effective way of learning it, pleasantly and effectively. You will find your teachers using English throughout your course. You can rely on your teachers being patient and understanding, because all of us here realize that learning in an adult group is very different from learning alone or in a secondary school. The intensive practice we offer in this short course will improve your talking with your teachers and classmates in English. It will mean you're participating actively in order to learn and to help others to learn. We have very few rules in our school, but I hope you will not mind my mentioning one or two right away. We prefer no smoking in class, unless your classmates agree otherwise. We advise no talking in your own language, even if you meet a fellow countryman in the school. We recommend you're keeping the lecture rooms tidy because studying in pleasant surroundings is less tiring. Therefore, please use the waste paper baskets provided. We encourage you to borrow books from the library, but please remember to return them on time. We hope you will learn a good deal of English and enjoy yourselves in London.
Questions 29 to 31 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 29. Who is the speaker? Question 30. What is the main purpose of this group of students? Question 31. Which of the following statements about the rules at the school is true? Passage 3. The first English dictionary called Alphabetical Table of Hard Words was published in 1604. The dictionary actually gave only about 3,000 difficult words, each followed by a one-word definition. The author, Robert Cawdrey, made no attempt to include everyday words in his dictionary. No one, he reasoned, would ever have to look up a word in a dictionary if he already knew the meaning of the word. During the 1600s, more dictionaries were published. Each followed Cawdrey's lead and presented a few thousand hard words. Around 1700, one dictionary maker, John Kersey, did define easy words as well as hard ones. But until the 1750s, all dictionaries were rather simple and not very valuable. A man named Dr. Samuel Johnson changed all this. In 1755, Dr. Johnson produced the first modern dictionary. He included in his dictionary all important words, both easy and hard, and he gave good meanings. He also gave good sentences to show how each word was actually used in speech and in writing. By the end of the 1700s, most dictionary makers had followed Johnson's lead. Dictionaries were getting better and better. The 1800s saw the greatest improvement in the quality of dictionaries. In England, scholars planned and prepared the Oxford English Dictionary, a 20-volume work. One of the most interesting features of the Oxford English Dictionary is its word histories. It traces the history of each word from its earliest recorded use up to the time of the printing of the dictionary.
Questions 32 to 35 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 32. When was the first English dictionary published? Question 33. What best describes the first English dictionary? Question 34. Who produced the first modern dictionary? Question 35. What is one of the most interesting features of the Oxford English Dictionary?
Section C.
Directions. In this section, you will hear a passage three times. When the passage is read for the first time, you should listen carefully for its general idea. When the passage is read for the second time, you are required to fill in the blanks numbered from 36 to 43 with the exact words you have just heard. For blanks numbered from 44 to 46, you are required to fill in the missing information. For these blanks, you can either use the exact words you have just heard or write down the main points in your own words. Finally, when the passage is read for the third time, you should check what you have written. Now, listen to the passage.
As you begin your study of the heavens, you may feel that the odds of your making any impact on the field of astronomy are impossibly low. But in fact, important breakthroughs can come from students' work. You may have heard from the media that the examples of one of the most elusive objects in the cosmos, the brown dwarf, were found by a 27-year-old student, Claire Briadger. Scientists all over the world have been searching for more than 50 years, and yet the discovery was made by someone still in graduate school. When Ms. Briadger presented a paper at the meeting of the American Astronomical Society, her talk was, for me, the highlight of the meeting. There was considerable agreement that what she had found was indeed the elusive brown dwarf. For those of you who don't yet know, brown dwarfs are these gaseous bodies that are too large to be planets, but not massive enough to ignite into full-grown stars. While others spent their time studying what shows up big and bright in the heavens, Briadger searched for the small and faint. She spent about 2 years at a computer scanning and classifying pinpoints of light within clusters of stars. She sometimes worked 100 hours in a single week. Then, finally, she was able to isolate a number of points that seemed to be actual brown dwarf. Her discovery may help to explain how stars form and thus answer some of our questions about the ultimate fate of the universe. Now the passage will be read again.
As you begin your study of the heavens, you may feel that the odds of your making any impact on the field of astronomy are impossibly low. But in fact, important breakthroughs can come from students' work. You may have heard from the media that the examples of one of the most elusive objects in the cosmos, the brown dwarf, were found by a 27-year-old student, Claire Briager. Scientists all over the world had been searching for more than 50 years, and yet the discovery was made by someone still in graduate school. When Ms. Briager presented a paper at the meeting of the American Astronomical Society, her talk was for me the highlight of the meeting. There was considerable agreement that what she had found was indeed the elusive brown dwarf. For those of you who don't yet know, brown dwarfs are these gaseous bodies that are too large to be planets. But not massive enough to ignite into full-grown stars. While others spend their time studying what shows up big and bright in the heavens, Briager searched for the small and faint. She spent about 2 years at a computer scanning and classifying pinpoints of light within clusters of stars. She sometimes worked 100 hours in a single week. Then finally she was able to isolate a number of points that seemed to be an actual brown dwarf. Her discovery may help to explain how stars form and thus answer some of our questions about the ultimate fate of the universe.
Now the passage will be read for the third time.
As you begin your study of the heavens, you may feel that the odds of your making any impact on the field of astronomy are impossibly low. But in fact, important breakthroughs can come from students' work. You may have heard from the media that the examples of one of the most elusive objects in the cosmos, the brown dwarf, were found by a 27-year-old student, Claire Briager. Scientists all over the world have been searching for more than 50 years, and yet the discovery was made by someone still in graduate school. When Ms. Briager presented a paper at the meeting of the American Astronomical Society, her talk was for me the highlight of the meeting. There was considerable agreement that what she had found was indeed the elusive brown dwarf. For those of you who don't yet know, brown dwarfs are these gaseous bodies that are too large to be planets, but not massive enough to ignite into full-grown stars. While others spent their time studying what shows up big and bright in the heavens, Briager searched for the small and faint. She spent about 2 years at a computer scanning and classifying pinpoints of light within clusters of stars. She sometimes worked 100 hours in a single week. Then, finally, she was able to isolate a number of points that seemed to be actual brown dwarf. Her discovery may help to explain how stars form and thus answer some of our questions about the ultimate fate of the universe.